Hi, this is Iris Jackson, and this is Miracles Happen, Dreams Do Come True. And today, I want to share with you a great, great miracle and blessing in my life. My dear and precious friend, Joanna Cherry.
Hey, Iris. So good to be back.
So good to have you. And and the reason I, you know, like, I call people when it's a treat to me to call them.
Yeah.
And it's a treat to me to call you.
Oh, thank you. And vice versa.
Thank you. And Joanna is, I don't even know what to say about you. She is an author of two books, Living Mastery. And what's the second lineup?
Self-Initiations is the second one.
Oh, and I don't want to appear like I haven't read them, because I have and used them, and they're wonderful. But isn't there's a second line on Living Mastery that I always think of the article you wrote in Halo Magazine instead of this. What is the second line on Living Mastery?
Gosh, you got me.
You can't think of it either?
Why don't you go to the other room and see it?
Oh, wait a minute. I have it here. I was just telling Joanna that I think that part of my mission is to just be easy with making mistakes. And I think that's something that has kept a lot of people back from doing what they're here to do. Is,
oh, well, I got to do it perfect first.
What? What did you say?
Well, that wasn't me.
No. I wasn't saying it was you.
No, but someone said about something being perfect first. Was that you?
What?
Well, never mind. Yeah, it's fine to make mistakes.
And I think it's really good to just go ahead and give what you have to give, even if you make mistakes. So
yeah.
I feel like that's one of the things I'm here to teach.
Yeah, in fact, one of the things that we've learned over time is that nearly all masters and even gurus, maybe, that have millions of followers have areas in consciousness that they have not mastered. I think most commonly in relationships, especially sexual relationships, and also sometimes envy of other masters, etc. So, but that doesn't mean that they don't have wonderful and great gifts to give. So, I mean, all of us have wonderful gifts to give, and we just kind of need to ignore the areas that where we're not masterful yet, and embrace the gifts that we do have to give each other. I think that's a great key to life right there.
Well, I think one of the things for me is has been feeling ashamed to give my gifts with those things still not mastered. And that's the thing that I was.
Oh.
I feel like as I learn that, I sort of make space for people to do that. But there's some things that I'm totally easy about making mistakes about.
Yeah, well, that's great.
Well, the second line on your book, Living Mastery, is the expression of your divinity.
Oh, yeah, I knew it had divinity in it, but I couldn't remember the rest of it. It's been a while since I've looked at it.
Well, you don't need to look at it. This is a living light that you have put out into the universe. And it is the interesting thing about this, when I read your first book, is that I could hear your voice.
Wow.
As if you were speaking, and it was speaking coming from your heart and coming from the Christ in you to the Christ in others. And so
I'm so glad that was your experience with that.
Well, my first experience with you is that I read your article in Halo magazine. That was like, what year was that?
I think that was 89. My gosh, that's a long while back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
30 years next year.
Yeah.
No.
20 years.
I don't know. See, another mistake. I am perfectly fine about not being good with math. But I read this article that you had written called Living Mastery, Ascension, Full Mastery on Earth.
Yeah.
And Joanna is also the founder of Ascension Mastery International and Sacred Images, which is, you talk about that a little bit.
Well, I just, for myself, there were certain pictures of masters, images of beautiful masters that I love and that really helped me in my own meditation and spiritual expansion. And so I began to offer these to others in the workshops I was giving, and then it kind of gradually expanded, and then Spirit sent me to India and asked me to really expand them and get them out as far as I could, because awakening humanity needed them. So it's become a real dharma, as we say, a way of giving to the world a right livelihood. And I just love it. I love the pictures. They give so much. They do so much good in the world. And people now tell me they see them all over the world, on people's altars, all over the world, or shelves or whatever. So I just love doing it. And I have a couple of helpers, and we all love the pictures and are dedicated to giving the gifts of them.
And, so, you know, among the gifts of them, there are countless gifts maybe that we don't even know or understand.
Yes.
But a person's level of mastery shines forth from their countenance.
Yes, and the purpose of the pictures is not to say that we need to worship these masters or idolize them in any way. It's that when we look into their eyes, we see our own mastery reflected back to us. When we recognize the beauty and the mastery of someone in a picture, an image or a statue, whatever it is, then we are also feeling our own beauty and mastery. And that's really the purpose of them. So I just love that part.
Yes, I do too. And that is also available in a person's, it's available in their photograph. It's available in their name being spoken.
That's true.
It's available in a person's handwriting,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and in their voice.
Yeah, that's all true, isn't it?
So we're sending out what we're sending out all the time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, each of us is.
So I felt like I didn't finish that part about how we met.
Oh, yeah.
When I read that article, my heart just unfurled its wings. And what was so wonderful is there were exact quotes to what I was leading seminars at that time, and the people in my seminars, I was saying these exact same things together. And so to them, and I just felt this level of kinship with you And it reminded me that we know where this comes from.
Yeah.
These are not ideas you read in the newspaper, Joanna.
That's right. Come direct from spirit.
Well, talk about what ascension is. Oh, and you were on my first radio show.
Oh, yeah.
not my very first, but
yeah.
The first. I did one in San Francisco.
Yeah, and that's how we met. I came down to San Francisco to do it.
Tell people how you came down. This just shows how the Lord works in mysterious ways.
Oh, yeah. Well, Robert Rose, who was the editor of Halo, which is not available anymore, but I was talking with him one day, and he said, hey, you know what? There's a lady named Iris Jackson who lives in the Bay Area. She has a radio show, and she might enjoy your being on it. So he gave me your number, and I called you, and there was this instant connection that we both really felt, and it's just...
Oh, I had the connection already because I had read your article.
Right, right.
And the way I met him is that somebody gave me a Halo magazine. She said, this is so beautiful. You will love this more than any magazine you've ever seen. And it was a miracle, the whole thing.
It was so
beautifully, divinely done. You could probably get one on eBay.
That'd be good, huh?
Yeah. Anyway, I called up Robert Rose and I said, look it, this magazine is so beautiful. What I will do is take it around to different metaphysical bookstores in the area, and I will ask them to carry it because I haven't seen it anywhere. Somebody just gave me a copy, and it needs to be distributed in California. So I took it around. I asked people to carry it, and if they did, I told people where they could get it on the radio show, and I told Robert that, and I told him how I loved your article. And wow, I had never looked at how really magically that came together, but
yeah.
Everything about it was magical.
Yeah, one of those wonderful synergistic things, I guess.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Well, tell what your experience of ascension is, Joanna.
Well, it used to be a little more, I guess it still is the same way, but the basic idea of ascending, what an ascended master is someone who has, at the end of their time on this plane, when they're complete, totally complete with this plane, and able to be master of the body and the frequencies of the body, they would raise up, quicken the frequencies of the physical form faster and faster, until they would disappear on this plane and would appear then in the next higher plane or the plane where they were best going next. And there are a lot of masters on Earth that have been able to do this, and there are a lot of masters still living on Earth that are able to do these things, like travel by thought, raise the frequency of the body in one place, and then just put themselves mentally and where they want to be, and then lower the frequencies of the body in that place, so they didn't have to walk or fly or do anything like that, drive from here to there. They could just be here or there, and it's the same basic principle, except with ascension you usually stay on the new plane and then live and work from there. And there are lots and lots of ascended masters in the world, that have lifted off from the world. One of the most famous is Saint Germain, who was known to be, and many people wrote about this and knew about this, and there are letters about him that are still available, that can be seen, some of them in the Louvre, the Paris Great Art Museum. And he stayed the same age for over 100 years. I mean, he looked exactly the same, like was in his 40s. And he just did enormous good in the world. And And he was able to travel by thought. He could be in France one day and Russia, Moscow the next day, and he spoke every language, and this was like in the 1700s mostly, and I think until the early 1800s, 1820 or something like that. And then he went up, and he's basically living on the lighter plane now, but he was quite famous. He was called the Wonder Man of Europe. And that's just one example of a modern day or fairly modern day ascended master, and there are many others as well. Jesus, of course, is an ascended master, and Mary is, and Kuan Yin, and many of the great beings that we know about.
You know, I feel like we started out talking about ascension and it wasn't what we planned to do, and I want to say ascension is a different sort of thing to me, and not different than you've been saying in any way, except that I've always thought and felt in my heart and desired deeply in my heart to be an ascended master on earth. Well, you know, the thing that I loved, that I heard about Saint Germain, is that he could whip out dinner in an instant from the universal substance of light.
Yes.
That was delicious, in which nobody suffered, in which nobody died, in which nobody was kept in a cage.
Mm-hmm.
Just from universal light substance of joy, it could appear. See, he was the most popular man in Europe because hostesses wanted him to come and cook and plan the parties. I mean, I read this in one of the books about him, and he would precipitate it onto the table.
I had never read that happened in Europe. I know that in the Green Books there are stories about that, but I didn't know it happened in Europe too. That's great.
Yes, it happened in Europe.
Huh.
And he wouldn't eat himself. But
that's right. He would eat some oatmeal, I hear, but otherwise nothing.
Well, he would precipitate. Well, maybe we need to put that on our list. Oatmeal.
I have it.
You have some?
The way I doctor it up, I don't know. He probably wouldn't recognize it.
I know you put pecans and brown sugar.
Yeah, butter and milk. And, yeah.
Well, that's fine, Miss Joanne. Have it your way. But
wanted to say I agree with you also about just being a master on Earth. There's no need to leave Earth. It's a fine place to be, and especially when we get into that mastery consciousness, it's a fine place to stay as long as we want to stay, as long as we enjoy it and it's right for us, you know.
Well, I also feel like we have the example of Babaji, who appears in many forms everywhere on Earth, and
right,
has been here for over 3,000 years.
Five.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Another mistake.
Yeah. 5,000 years. He's in a youthful body, and he lives. He stays mostly outside of a little town called Badrinath in the Himalayas, is what another master who's very close to him tells me. But he, like you say, he appears in all kinds of places and looks. Has all kinds of appearances. He's appeared to me at least three times looking entirely different from himself, and so that I didn't even recognize him, you know, at the time, and only found out later that it was him. So he's just one of those amazing beings that is anywhere or everywhere at once and always working for the good of the earth and humanity. The enlightenment of humanity. He sent Yogananda here into the United States in 1920.
Thank you, Babaji.
Yes, thank you, Babaji.
Well, the one of the reasons I'm defining so much what ascension is for me is because I want to use I want to illustrate the use of Ho'oponopono on it.
Uh-huh.
But for me, it is doing everything that Jesus did, healing the sick, raising the dead, operating out of outside of time and space. I can say this. And overcome every apparent limitation and obstacle, including aging and so-called death.
Mm-hmm.
And levitating, precipitating, roller skating, you know, playing.
Yeah.
At it and being joyous at it and doing it in a way that makes it easy for people to step into that.
Yes.
And I'm really interested in cooking dinner the way that Jermaine has. And I'm really interested in working with him to bring forth the Ascended Master's divine plan on earth. And I believe this tool that we found through Zero Limits, which is what we plan to talk about today, is one of the most important tools in doing it.
Yeah, it is really profound.
Because I want everyone to have these freedoms. I'm not even calling them Ascended Master gifts. They are the freedoms and the gifts that were intended for people anyway.
Yes.
The being completely connected with the divine at all times. So, do you want to explain what we were going to talk about?
Well, there's a beautiful gentleman named Dr. Hugh Lin, H-E-W and then capital L-E-N, who he learned this ancient technique from, it's an ancient kahuna technique that a beautiful kahuna lady named Morna, I forget her last name, M-O-R-R-N-A-H, I think, adapted so that it could be just done with one person. And he learned it from her. She taught workshops and he went to one of her workshops and got so plugged in he left. And then he did it again. He went to another workshop and got so plugged in he left.
Was there anything about what she actually said that ticked him off so much?
Well, he didn't say what it was, but he just felt like it was all fantasy and made up and ridiculous. I mean, but then he went to a third workshop, and this time he stayed the whole time, and then he stayed with her for 10 years, learning and traveling with her and beginning to help teach it. And during that time, while he was still with her, he also became a psychologist at the state hospital in Hawaii in the ward for the mentally criminally insane. And so he started to use these techniques that Morna had taught him with each case. He would never meet with someone, one of the so-called insane. He would just study their file and anything that he react, and then he real, and, you know, it's the whole thing about oneness it's just so huge to talk about, but this, like, we are the center of our own universe and whatever we notice in it is us. And so he realized that these people that he was reading about were him. And so he began to make amends, ask for forgiveness from the divine for seeing this in his world, and going, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you. And gradually, he didn't see the patients, but he became a member of the family. He would walk the walls, and he realized that the need for various things, and one of the things was just new paint on the halls. And the ward was so violent at that time that there was all kinds of sick leave with the people who worked there, and when they would go down the hall, they would oftentimes just kind of slide down with their backs to the hall because there were so many attacks, patients on each other and patients on the workers that worked there. And it was a very violent, patients were put in shackles a lot. There was no outside work program of any kind or recreation of any kind. And so it was just a really very unhappy, difficult place. And so Dr. Julen would do this silent work with the files of each patient, and then he would kind of go into the halls and become, as he said, become one of the family. He became one of the family. And one of the things was that the walls needed painting, and so they tried to paint it, I forget how many times, but I think at least a couple times, and the paint simply would peel right off. It would not stick on the walls. And then
what color was it?
I don't know. And then Dr. Hugh Lin did a thing with the walls, that he loved the walls and asked the forgiveness and all. And then the paint, the next time, it stuck. And so they had a nice new shiny ward, and gradually the violence in the ward decreased and decreased until it was practically non-existent. They were able to start a recreation program. There was no more need for shackles. There was some outside work being done, and he was always having fun. He was always in joy and laughter, and the whole ward just began to light up and become alive and loving and happy, and there was no more sick leave, and they went from not having enough staff to having too much staff. he was there for about 3 years until Morna told him it was time to go, and he realized that too. So, but he did just enormous good while he was there, and there's documents in this book. And the book we were talking about, we should be more clear about that. As I guess it's called Zero Limits, and the author is Joe Vitale, V-I-T-A-L-E, Joe Vitale. The book is Zero Limits, and he knows Dr. Hulin. They've become very close friends, and so Joe has written the book about Dr. Hulin's work and his own experiences with it. So that's what I thought we might talk about today, because the doctor was on Iris' show last week, and both Iris and I, have had some wonderful times with the Ho'oponopono is what Dr. Hulin calls the practice of loving and forgiving everything that you notice and asking forgiveness of the divine for seeing anything amiss, because basically life is perfect, that's the understanding of it. So we wanted to just kind of chew about some things today, and about things that work for us and things that we don't understand or question or don't work for us, and so that was our idea.
Well, you didn't finish the story about finally they shut the mental,
Yeah, it was just no more. Everybody became healed. Thank you for saying that important thing. I think there was one or two that weren't, he said. But everyone else became healed there was no one there anymore, hardly.
Oh, I heard that everyone was healed.
I know, that was my original understanding, but I was just reading the book, and I think Hulin says that one or maybe two were not able to be helped.
Yet. My understanding of the Ho'oponopono is that first of all, I have noticed that it teaches you of itself as you're using it, And a lot of things come to me from the Course in Miracles and from other great teachers and from things we've reinforced with each other back and forth,
yeah.
Joanna, is that the truth is there is God's world. There is the Ascended Master's octave in which everything is love and everything is harmony and everything is perfection. And then there is the Warner Brothers made up movie of a world that we have created as humanity out of forgetting we were one with God and each other.
Exactly.
So, as within, so without. So if I see something out here that I do not like, that is not of the Ascended Master's octave and not the mastery I want to be or have, or if I see, also, I see the second coming being when everyone recognizes they're the Christ.
Yes.
And we've talked for years about the important work is seeing and recognizing everyone as the Christ.
Yes.
And, Joanna and I have been fond of, well, there was a Christ that was really acting like an asshole. He had me convinced there.
Yeah.
But so what you do then is say, oh, please forgive me for seeing you as not the Christ,
yeah.
is what you're doing.
Yeah.
And that heals it within and without.
Yes. Because you're talking to yourself, too, you know. Because if we see someone as not the Christ, to me, it automatically includes that I'm not seeing myself as the Christ. And so if I ask forgiveness of the divine and of the and or of the person, then I'm rectifying that, both visions, you know, of them and of me. Because it's all one.
Well, you know, it as I'm using it, and I want to say you really have to make a commitment to using it on everything. Dr. Hugh Lin says you take responsibility for everything. It's the F training. It's back to the boot camp of enlightenment. It's like, you are responsible for creating this.
Yeah.
My kids took the F training, and afterwards Jay used to hit Sonny, and he'd go, you choose it. What are you going to do with your kids when they're doing that? I mean,
oh, that's funny.
Well, and so, you know, I want to talk about some of the struggles we've had with using it. Like, one of the things I had trouble with is when I wanted to ask forgiveness of a certain president with a four-letter name. I wanted to ask his forgiveness. You know, when I said, I love you, I threw up a little bit in my mouth. And also, I did not want to say I was responsible for what
in the yeah, or for him, or in your world.
Yeah, it's like, how did you get past security? So, you know, talk about that a little bit, Joanna.
You mean about the total responsibility thing?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I can just talk like any of us talks, which is from what I really have learned, which I think is maybe not that much about this, but again, it's like we are gods, we are the divine, we are goddesses, and our universe, the universe that we experience, the world, the life we experience, is created by us, from our expectations, from how we choose to see things, and choose not to see things. And so everything that we see basically was placed there by us. And how we see it is how we choose to see it. So In that way, somehow or another, we are responsible for everything. And even though personally, directly, we may not have voted for this president with the four-letter name.
not to mention any name.
Somehow, and being part of life, it is our creation, too, because we see it. We see it. We notice it. We react to it, you know.
and we put our attention on it instead of the God perfection.
Yes.
And
yes.
That is the problem.
Yes, exactly. We haven't seen the Christ, and that's how we've chosen to see. So if we choose to see only that perfection and the perfection of life, then our whole perception changes totally.
Well, and we are in the space that Dr. Hugh Lynn calls zero, which is the space of here, now, and all power and the point of creating miracles.
Yes.
It is the point of creating miracles. Now, he says that he only does it for the infinite peace of his soul.
Yes. And he says he loves to have the opportunity to clean. And I was just remembering one of the wonderful things that the book mentions is that there's was a salesman in one of the workshops that I think that Joe went to with Dr. Hulan. He was a car salesman for ultra luxury cars, and he made like, you know, $1 million a year, $2 million a year, something like that. And so Joe was asking him how he did it, or he says, "I just clean," and that's what Dr. Hulan calls the Ho'oponopono, these things about I love you, I forgive you.
No, would you please forgive me?
Yeah, yes, exactly, sorry. And so he said that every person that came to look at a car, he had no goal to sell a car, no goal. And Joe, the author of the book, had a hard time believing that. No goal, he said. So this has been one of his great learnings with this work. And he says, "No, I have no goal to sell a car. I just clean. I just love the people who come. I just love them. I ask forgiveness of the divine. And that's how he earns $2 million a year. But there, all he does is clean. That's all he wants to do. And so, one of the great things of the book, one of the great understandings that it helps us to come to is that when we do this cleansing, whatever our thoughts are, whatever our desires are, what we're doing is just everything is that might be in front of that or an obstacle to that is getting out of the way. We're just smoothing it out of the way. And so whatever we choose to create, we can manifest pretty much instantly. Or in the case of the salesman, he just cleans and people buy cars. So it's a pretty amazing process.
Well, see what my vision used to be of being a spiritual teacher or being a spiritual leader or a master would be, well, I would be a master teaching the things that I learned to become a master, and somebody else would clean. The people that I taught, they would clean.
Do
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I thought I was going to get out of cleaning. I thought I had cleaned enough, Joanna. And I'm seeing that we're just getting started. But I also want to say that a whole lot of people doing Ho'oponopono on taking responsibility for the president with the four-letter name retired him.
And a new president with the whatever letter name that is.
Yes. So we have graduated from that, you know, out of using it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it might help listeners because if they know nothing about this process to The basic idea is that you say to the divine, this is from Hugh Len, this is how he calls it, you say to the divine, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you. And Iris and I have also realized that just saying I love you to a person that we are seeing, just saying it inwardly, you know, to a person that we are seeing as less than a divine being, works wonders. And also both Hugh Len and Joe emphasize just the simple phrase, and this is the only one that, this can be the only one that's used. And Hugh Len says this, he says it works differently for everybody. So whatever works for any person is right. And so it's just, I love you. And there's a story in the book, too, about Joe and Hugh Len going out to eat, and the only place that was open was Burger Barn. And Hugh Len said, well, I love burgers. And
excuse me, Joanna, do we have a caller, Don?
Hello?
Yes?
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Who is this?
My name is Julie.
Hi, Julie?
Yes, Julie.
Hi, Julie.
Hi, I'm really excited you guys are talking about this. And I didn't know, I know that a lot of people, they're just kind of learning about this Ho'oponopono. And I had an experience, and I wondered if you'd like to kind of hear about, I didn't even really know what I was doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Apparently not, Julie.
Yeah.
It was so awesome. I first read about this and learned about this when I purchased a book from Joe Vitale called The Key. And in that, there are different clearing processes that you can use to, you know, do different clearing on your energy. And it's about the law of attraction, of course, but that there's other things. And he discussed, he told the story of Dr. Len and Ho'oponopono. And at that time, all I knew about it was to just say, I love you.
Yeah.
And I had a situation in my family here, a sister-in-law. Actually, she wasn't my sister-in-law yet. It was my
husband. And you were hoping it might change.
Yeah. Well, it was the kind of a thing, I don't know if you've ever experienced it, but they just hate your guts and you don't know why.
Yeah.
You know, you get that feeling in the pit of your stomach.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was horrible. And I mean, it was starting to grow throughout the rest of the family. And it got to the point to where they wouldn't invite us. Like, my husband's parents would always qualify, well, she's going to be here, so, you know, and so it was that kind of a thing.
Oh.
And it was becoming very painful for me because I couldn't understand what I had ever done to make her feel that way. Well, we ended up purchasing a house in the family here, and she ended up, after her mother passed away, she was going to be handling the payments that we were paying on this property. And we had a deal happen to where the check bounced, where I didn't get our paycheck in the bank, and so the check bounced, and I was going to have to call her. And just the thought of having to call her just made my stomach completely knot up. And so I remembered this, and so I have to tell you guys, I walked around my house, I got up really early that morning, and I just, every time I would think of her, I would just continue to say, I love you, I love you, I love you. I didn't know about the I'm sorry, please forgive me, none of that. All I did was, I love you. And I kept doing that, and I just say it over and over and over in my head. And then I'd go about doing other things. And eventually, it got to where when I would think of her, I wouldn't even get a charge in my stomach at all.
Uh-huh.
Woo-hoo!
Yes, I was totally relaxed. And
oh.
I'm thinking, man, this really works. What
oh.
is this? And so finally, I decided, okay, I'm going to call her. And so I did it one more time until I was totally just really relaxed. I dial the number. She answers the phone. She says, hello. And I say, hi. You know, and I said her name. This is Julie. And she goes, oh, hi. And I was like, whoa. And then I told her, I said, you know, the check bounced, but I've got the money. Do you want me to bring you the money? I'm really sorry. She goes, no problem.
Oh.
So anyways, long story short, that has, me doing that has completely changed the whole relationship of our family.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
Yes. And I mean, it's to the point now to where she loves me. I love her.
Which is the truth.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not the Warner Brothers nightmare that we've made up. It's the truth.
Exactly. And I have to tell you guys, just not even really knowing what I was doing, just holding that and being in that vibration of love, which is where God wants us, right?
Yes.
And just saying to the divine, I didn't know what it was. I didn't know anything. I didn't know what the problem was.
Yeah.
But I just stayed in that place. And so just even that little bit, just knowing that little bit has changed everything
in
our family.
And it's also you being the divinity that you are, because that's what the divinity does. It loves.
Yeah.
Loves unconditionally.
It was awesome. So I just kind of wanted to throw that in there.
Thank you very much.
It was really a gift. And
perfect.
Imagine the world with all of us doing that every day, Julie.
Oh, yeah.
That's the work.
It's so powerful, and I just want to let people know, if you have a problem, you know, if you have some things, some strife in relationships within your family, do this. I guarantee you, I promise you, it changes everything.
Yes, or a hatred between countries. You can use this on a country that you might feel hostile to, or feel they're hostile to us.
Right.
Or a group of people, or particular race, or anything.
And it's, you know, it's just, it only takes, it's amazing, it doesn't take that many people to do it.
Uh-huh.
No, it doesn't.
No.
It doesn't. Thank you for being one of them.
Yeah. Yo, hey, you bet. I mean, I just love it. I'm learning more and more now, and I'm really getting excited.
Thank you for sharing your story. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, and thank you, ladies.
Okay.
I really enjoy listening to you.
Thank you.
Take care. Okay, bye-bye.
Oh, wait, Julie. Wait.
What?
Julie, did you hang up?
No.
Let's just, the three of us, issue the whole Ho'oponopono challenge and ask everyone to use this for a week.
Yes.
On everything.
Yeah.
Everyone that's hearing this, and everyone that's hearing this that wants to tell someone, let's issue this challenge to use it for everything for a week.
Yeah.
And I just like to say, and see what we can do.
Oh, awesome.
Let's see what we can do. But I got to the point at several times in my meditation where, you know, I was talking about the four-letter president.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, you know, I would get to the point where I could take responsibility for everything that he was doing and saying, I love you, please forgive me, thank you.
Right.
And then there were a few times where I just looked at everything I believed about the world and the environment and the economy and everything, and I said, God, please forgive me for making that stuff up. I am so sorry. This is a really bad movie I have believed about the earth. I am so sorry I ever thought that, felt that to be possible, and I want to make amends. Just please forgive me. I love you. And I said it to the whole world, and I felt like I lost 1,000 pounds.
Yes.
Wow.
I can see that. I really can. I've been listening to a lot of Greg Braden's.
Yes,
and he spoke about the experiments that they'd done with, you know, just the people holding the feeling of peace, and the experiences that they saw evidence of it during the Lebanese War, and they've done so many experiments now to where they have it refined down to where they have a mathematical formula. And it only takes the square root of 1% of the population to have an effect.
Woo-hoo!
Whoa.
So I got really excited because if we have 6 billion people, the square root of 1% is only 8,000.
Wow.
That is not many.
No.
So you reduce that down to maybe a population of your town. And so 1 million people, that's only 100.
Wow.
Okay, so you and then you narrow that down, and this is where I got really excited. Narrow it down to a family.
Ah,
one person in the family.
Yeah.
It's less than a person.
Yeah.
It's one person per family.
It is.
This is really good news because some of us have some family.
Exactly. And see, I have stepchildren. I have, you know, just these amazing things happening. But what's so cool is when you apply something like Ho'oponopono with that love and that forgiveness and that non-judgment, when you get to zero, you have no judgment, and you bless.
Yeah.
Once you get into that vibration, I have to tell you guys, it was really weird because my sister-in-law had no idea what I was doing.
Uh-huh.
And it was so interesting because I would be around her again, and when I'd start to feel that energy, I would just start saying in my head, I love you, I love you, I love you. And she
that
would change.
That was concrete,
yes.
Julie.
Wow.
Yeah, and she would change, and it was so awesome because you could see the look on her face.
Uh-huh.
And her whole countenance, her eyes, she would look at me differently. And I know she didn't understand. I've never told her this. I only told my husband.
Uh-huh.
Because he was shocked. He was absolutely shocked at the first thing that, yeah, the whole family was. They didn't know. He's the only one I told.
Wow.
So, that's so great.
I know. So when you think about the square root of 1% of any population, it's not that much.
Wow. Oh, and we reached the tipping point. Enough of us know and are using it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I have to share one more. I'm going to share one more thing, and then I'm going to let you guys get back to
show.
There was a friend of ours who had this neighbor who was just constantly attacking him in every way she could, with, you know, calling the cops on him, turning him in for environmental issues. I mean, she was just making his life a living hell.
Wow.
And he ended up to where he was going to have to go to court. And he was calling me, and he's one of those guys that's really intense. He's a really cool guy, but he's very intense. And so I had gone through that thing with my sister-in-law with I love you, and so I just thought, you know, I don't know you very well, but I'm just going to throw this out there. And I said, so are you ready for something that's really trippy? You want to try something? And he goes, I'll try anything at this point. And I laughed, and I said, okay, just start saying I love you. And he goes, what? And I said,
anything but that.
Yeah. And he went, you're nuts. And I said, okay. And then I told him the story of Dr. Hugh Lin. And he went, oh, you're a witch. And I laughed. And he goes, this is, I don't know. I said, just try it. Just don't even, I said, just keep saying it in your mind. I love you, I love you, I love you. Just keep saying that. And I didn't tell him why. Because a lot of people get really resistant when you say you're responsible for everything that's happening.
Yeah.
Right? So you don't want to bring up that resistance. So it's like all I did was, and he called me up a week and a half later, and that's when he called me a witch again. It was so funny. He goes, you are a witch. And I laughed. And he goes, I'm not kidding you. I can't tell you. Everything's changing.
Aww.
And I went, oh. I said, see? So I just say I love you. If you can't get to the point to where you can say, please forgive me,
yeah.
You know, I'm sorry. If you can just say, I love you.
I love you.
Oh, yeah.
Wonderful.
You know, before you go, Julie, I wanted to say to both of you, I didn't know what I was doing, but I had a beautiful marriage for 40 years and to an absolute prince. And whenever we had a fight or something. We never had fights, but we had some strong disagreements.
Right.
Joanna saw the worst one we ever had.
And
at the end, I was something would always turn it where the love was the most important thing to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just say, I am so sorry. Would you forgive me? And he would instantly say, I'm sorry, too.
Yeah.
Would you forgive me?
Uh-huh.
And then we would fall into each other's arms, and then we would always come to this point of laughter.
Mm-hmm.
We would just laugh, and we would be so happy to be back together loving each other instead of saying those other things.
Yeah.
That, I mean, that's what just kept making it more and more wonderful.
Yeah.
But I had no idea about it then. But I guess We're saying we've all had some idea about it all along, and this is the work we came to do. It is cleaning after all.
That's right.
Yes. The world after all.
Well, thank you, ladies. This is awesome.
So that's the three of us issue the challenge again.
Yeah.
1 week, ho'oponopono, everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then keep doing it if you like it.
Yeah. Or if you're just doing the shortcut, tell people inwardly that you love them.
Yeah.
You know, I've had a little trouble with that. I've almost said it out loud a few times when I've caught myself that it would be inappropriate. You know, like some guy I passed in Barnes and Noble or
Right. Well, you know, and it's our heart, you know, in your heart, it's just like gratitude. Once you break that barrier and get that thought of just one little thing that you're grateful for and you really feel it, they all start coming and it starts to flood, right?
And
so this is the same thing. It starts that flood. It puts you on that vibration. And I have to tell you, until people try it, they aren't going to understand, but I guarantee it, I promise,
Well, you know, it really is for people that are interested in turning everything into a miracle and having a paradise life.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for the faint of heart. It's like, get in there and clean it up.
Yep.
I don't think we need to call it like that. I think just this thing about I love you. That doesn't take all that much courage.
Yeah, and you know, people aren't used to saying it, and so that's one thing, especially guys. You know, men
have.
Thank you.
Thanks, Julie.
Okay,
wonderful.
Thank you so much.
All right, love
thank
you.
Thank you.
Bye.
God bless. Bye bye.
Oh, thank you, Iris. That was just perfect.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep shining until then. Happy trails to you till we meet again. I love you, and this is my wish for you, that all your dreams come true and are 1,000 times more wonderful than you ever dreamed possible. Ah, men, ah, women, ah, children, and yeehaw!